Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network and the Ministry of New Beginning, Ambassador for Christ. Your host this evening, Deacon Wes Armstrong. Thank you for joining us this evening. A little tired, but I'm going on, doing what I have to do. Our disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network are solely those of the host, guests, and caller. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, its management, or of the host or advertisers. And again, welcome to a new beginning, Ambassadors for Christ, in the world but not of the world. Thank God for that. We'll have a prayer. Before we have prayer, I really didn't have a topic. I put a little something out there, but it was just something I want people to think about. I'm thinking about it myself. I was listening to a podcast, and a minister mentioned, he mentioned something, and it sort of like touched me in my mind. And it was that, are you prepared? Any kind of way we want to. Are you prepared to move? Are you prepared to start a new job? Are you prepared to start dealing with some health issues in your life? But I believe what he was really focusing on was, are you prepared? Because of the way the world is going, there is a lot of chaos, a lot of war, a lot of hostility. And the world happening all around us, but it's happening here in this country also. It's kept undercover to a certain extent. There is violence, and there is unspoken of violence in this country. They call it home of the brave and the land of the free and the home of the brave, right? Maybe I'll be able to understand it. Being a resident of this country, I just can't fathom what they're trying to tell me. Land of the free, home of the brave. Okay, all right. Now, I was born and raised here in this country. My parents also. I don't know about my grandparents, but I know that my paternal grandfather, his people were from Africa, and my paternal grandmother, she is from a Native American tribe, I believe it's either Cherokee or Lumbee, Carolina. And I can understand why my mind is tossed sometimes, because my people, from what I understand, my people, they were put underfoot of someone that was not even this country, you know, they're here takeover mode, you know, because they considered someone that wasn't like them savages, and they did their best to overrun, overtake, and take over, you know, this country. And we need to start speaking the truth and not being afraid and ashamed of who we are and who our people were. I'm a child of God, and I live by his word, you know. I walk by his word because I lived the life of the world, and that just wasn't what was happening. It's not that it wasn't getting me anywhere or wasn't getting rich or, you know, my health issues and whatever else, relationships, no. It's just that the world is full of chaos. There is no solution. Nobody is searching for a solution. Answers are being put out in the world, but they're not truly answers. They're just empty words. You know, it's just something for someone to hope on. And, well, the government said, no. You know, when I was in school, I read this thing called The Government is by the People and for the People. Today, we don't even know who the government is. You know, we don't even know what they're doing. They call it being transparent. They ain't telling me nothing, you know? And whatever they're putting out there is what they want us to hear and see, not what we should be knowing about, you know? And not just living to be living. That's not me. I want to know who I am, why I am here, where I'm at, and what's coming up. And I can only do that through serving God, the one and only true living God, who sent his only begotten son into the world, came to fulfill the law. He came and he died for us. He died for everybody, not Christians or children of God or the saints. He died for everybody to have an opportunity to be reconciled to God. Reconciled back to God. God created us because he loved us. He wanted to, God, he wanted to destroy man off the face of the earth, man and everything. But there was one man that found favor with God. He was a just man. And God selected him to build an ark. And him and his family, eight souls, eight human souls were saved along with some animals to start a new way of life, a fresh start without the sin. But hey, sin came in because sin's everywhere. It's here. It was in the garden. It's here. And we can't get around it. It's here. But we can deal accordingly. We can deal accordingly. Real quick, I think that's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 2. Let me get that real quick. Okay. All right. All right, let's see. All right, what is that? Okay, at 2 Timothy chapter 2, real quick. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, not just for my family or the preacher and his family, for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, we don't know when that time's coming. The Lord, he has his own time. So when that time comes, we ought to be prepared. We ought to be prepared right now. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be prepared right now to go right now. No. Be prepared and stay prepared, because we just don't know what's coming up next. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. But we can put ourselves in a position to be able to deal accordingly with whatever is coming up next. We're not going to live in this world forever. No. 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 The word doesn't tell us we're going to live in this world forever. Now, the way of the world, they have these chemicals and whatever, sprays and creams, whatever else they got, all this stuff to get rid of the wrinkles in your face, rejuvenate the body. But you're still going to leave here looking good or not. So we need to deal with what we have been given. It's enough. We should be satisfied with what we have and not, like my mom used to say, your stomach, your eyes are too big for your stomach. Your eyes, they want all this stuff, but your stomach can't hold it. You overeat, you get sick, and it wasn't worth it whatsoever, because in the end, we don't enjoy it. No, we don't. It's just the opposite of what we thought was going to happen. Okay? All right. I just want to put that out there real quick. Okay. What's coming up next? And are you prepared? Okay? All right. Let's say some hellos real quick. Then we'll have prayer. Good evening, Margaret. How are you?
Honey, I am so entirely blessed. The Lord has been so amazing. I got to tell you something.
Yes, go ahead.
Yesterday I had a run-in with the devil. He used one of these metrics to change my pills and try to kill me again. And I was sitting there, I was feeling real bad. I got really dizzy and my head was pounding.
Uh-huh.
And I was nauseous, and I was feeling real weird. And the Lord told me, he said, the devil's trying. He said, the devil is trying.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, I told the nurse, the unit manager, I told her about it, but I don't think they really believe me, but they put her off. I told the DON that she needs not to ever come back here. She's going to kill somebody.
Oh, Lord. My God.
Wow. She's the one that gave me that pill and told me that it was my Plavix. And, you know, Plavix is a blood thinner. So she told me it was that, but it was not a Plavix. And then she tried to give me two other pills the weekend. And so I didn't think about it. Yesterday, I did not think about it. I just, because everything, I looked at the pills, and everything looked correct. But, man, it was not correct. She changed my blood pressure pill with something. I don't know what it is. But she changed it to something.
Yeah. Something that it wasn't supposed to be.
Say that again.
She changed it to something that it wasn't supposed to be for you, right?
Uh-huh.
That it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lord covered me. He covered me completely.
Thank God.
I felt bad, but Lord knows I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, by the grace of God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, because the devil, Satan, he comes to us in all shapes, sizes, forms, and colors.
Uh-huh.
You know? Yes. And those And those that are closest to us, he tries to, you know, just use them right on up because they're close to us and we sort of like kind of trust people that are real close to us, you know?
Uh-huh.
But after a minute or so, the Spirit of God will reveal that thing ain't right. You know what I'm saying? Expose them. It will expose them. But we thank God. We truly thank God. Mm-hmm. That's how he covered you and protected you. The Spirit.
Amen.
Let you know.
I tell you, I'll be praising the Lord. I'll be praising him and praising him.
Thing to do. That's how we supposed to do. We're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. Because it won't be a blessing if you don't pass it along to somebody. It will not be a blessing. It'll come back and haunt you. Because you're supposed to speak that thing. And I'm told that you are, oh, God, what is it? You are, by your testimony, you are released by your testimony. I believe that's the word. I'm not sure. But to God be the glory, okay? That's where prayer comes. Yeah, that's where prayer comes in. Prayer.
Yes, it does.
Conscious contact with God, the Father. Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what. You want to start the opening prayer? Would you like to do that?
Oh, yes, I sure will.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Whenever you're
Lord, this is Margaret, and I've come to you as humble as I know how, Lord. Thank you for the space that you've given to me. Lord, thank you for every individual on this line, Lord. Please bless each and every one of them. Lord, we thank you for giving us time to have to be together. It may not be in person, Lord, but it is. We can hear and talk to each other complete and plain. Lord, we thank you for this blessing. We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. We thank you for the maneuvering and the moving that you've done in our lives. Lord, thank you for everything that you've done, that you are doing, and that you have done, and that you will do. Lord, we thank you. Lord,
thank you, Lord,
we want to honor you and praise you because you are worthy to be praised. You are magnificent. You are fantastic. You are marvelous. You are outstanding. You are my everything, Lord. And I truly appreciate and adore you for who and what you are in me, to me, and for me, and because of me. Lord, I praise your holy, righteous, glorious name for each individual that's on this line, that's listening on a phone or on a computer. Lord, I want you to touch each and every one and their families.
Yes.
Lord, touch their jobs, touch their homes, touch their cars, touch their bank account, touch their legs, touch their hands, touch their head. Lord, I want you to cover them. Lord, I cover each and every one. Lord, for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you will do, Lord, we say thank you. Glory,
thank
glory,
you,
glory. Hallelujah, Lord. I praise you. You are so worthy. You are so wonderful.
Yes.
Lord, I love you.
Yes.
Lord, you are so outstandingly great. Lord, thank you.
Lord,
this I pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. God, I enjoyed that prayer. Thank you. I want to add something real quick now to that prayer. Thank God for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you,
thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for being enduring.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Most High God in heaven. Thank you, earth and underneath the earth. We honor you, God, truly give you the praise. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to put you on speaker just for a little bit, okay? And I'll come back.
Okay,
okay?
That's fine.
Right?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, talk to you in a minute.
Okay.
All right. All right, let's see here. Okay. As I mentioned, it wasn't necessarily a topic. It was just something that just stuck with me that I heard that minister speak on. And it just had my mind, you know, just thinking. Not necessarily trying to come up with a solution, but going through my mind, my thoughts, on something's already there that I can do. You know, I don't have to start a new plan and getting prepared. You know, like back in the day, when I was a kid, after the wars and everything, they had these civil defense shelters. You know, it was in certain buildings in the basement. And they used to blow this horn. Every now and then they used to test this horn in town that most people could hear. And that was a way of being prepared for the enemy, whoever the enemy was at that time, to prepare us for an attack. And, you know, of course it worked. We weren't attacked, not by that particular enemy, but, you know, we're being attacked by our own people. We're being attacked right here at home by our loved ones and our friends, our neighbors on either side. You know, but as I just read in the scripture, we need to pray for everybody so we can all live together in godliness, you know, live in peace, have peace. If we don't have peace, our mind is sort of like being tortured on a regular. No peace, you know. We just can't be settled without peace. Our mind is being twisted, carried to and fro. We don't know what to think. We don't know how to act at a specific time. But without God, it's just an awful thing. You know, I experienced out in the world when I was out there. I'm not in the world doing the worldly things anymore. But when I was out there, so many times I didn't have peace, you know. My mind was being bombarded and wrecked on a regular, you know, just couldn't get no peace. Couldn't get no peace at home, you know, the relationships I was in. Couldn't get no peace, you know. Go out in the street, couldn't get no peace, you know. Chaos was everywhere because I wasn't living a life that I should have been living, you know? And no peace, no peace, no peace. And I tried to come up with ideas on how to have peace and, you know, how to make people relax that are around me so I get them peaceful enough, I can have peace. But see, that doesn't work. That doesn't work because you can't make nobody do nothing they don't want to do. You know, I learned that the hard way. And going from relationship to relationship, can't get no peace, can't get no peace. But I changed my life and asked the Lord to come in and save me and help me to deal accordingly in my life because I just gave up the reins to the enemy. You know, I just didn't know how to act in my life. I wasn't taught how to act in my life. Of course, I've been to church and everything, but I took it in. But once I got old enough, I was out on my own, and I made my own decisions to do what I wanted to do, you know, and it caught up with me. Because they say it's coming up again, y'all. Whether you did the right thing or the wrong thing, it's coming back up, and so it can tap you on the shoulder. It's like, well, gee, why am I going through these changes here? Possibly because of something I created a long time ago. God didn't do anything to me back then. It's like, okay, I got away with that. I'm good to go, you know. But when things come up, we get to scratching our head. Lord, why am I suffering with this disease, you know? Or, Lord, why my kids ain't right? You know, it's something within us that we didn't do back when. You know, if we didn't do something with our kids when they were young, when they get old enough, hey, be careful. They want to take over you and what you got, move you out. They move in, they'll move you out, you know. And there's no win in a situation like that because they weren't given the proper tools when they were young, you know. And now they're older, they're acting up. You know, they're not listening to you. They're taking advantage of you, all kind of crazy stuff. They leave their kids with you and keep it moving, you know. And the grandparents wind up taking care of the grandkids. Don't have to, but they're forced into that position. And so that's my grandkids. I love them. I'll take them in. I'll take care of them. But nobody's thinking about taking that responsibility of when they was younger that they didn't chastise their kids. They gave the kids what they wanted to have. Well, I didn't have this and I didn't have that when I was a child, so I'm going to make sure my kids got it. I didn't think that way. No, no, no. I definitely didn't think that way. My wife didn't either. And, of course, our children, they're not saints, you know. They're not the best kids on the block, you know. But they realize what their responsibilities are. And as they get older, you know, hey, a person gets to thinking when their years get to passing by, you know, and they see a couple of little gray hairs here and there, and, you know, they got problems with their knees, you know what I'm saying? Hey, it makes them think, you know, and that responsibility, it comes up, you know? Yeah. But with the average person, you know, what next? What next? You know, the way our country is right now, It's a lot of turmoil, y'all. I put in a little something. I'm going to read just a little something of this. It's from the it's from a newspaper called The Guardian news website. Okay. Now this is just touching the surface. I'm not saying I believe completely in what they're talking about. But a lot of these things, it makes sense when I read them. So I'm going to just read a little something here. As I said again, The Guardian, G-U-A-R-D-I-A-N. I got off the news, off the internet. Okay, now. Okay. This is primarily about what's next. This is in all our lives. In this country and in the world, what's next? Are you prepared? And see, I got to thinking about the war in the Ukraine. you know, were those people prepared? Hey, you lose everything, what you going to do? Are you prepared to flee all of a sudden? You know, if this country starts receiving bombs from an enemy or even within, are you prepared to flee? And then what next? What next? What do we do next? You know, where do we go? This is home. People in the Ukraine, that is their home, is being bombed. People are being killed, displaced. You know, if a bomb hits a building, you can't move back up in there when the dust settles. No. No, that's a done issue. And it's not necessary that you can go over there and move in with your relatives. Their place could be caught up in this too. So what's next? What's coming up next, y'all? Are you prepared? And it's similar to living in the world. You know about God and Jesus Christ. You go to church making a showing, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I bought this fancy three-piece suit, and I got a pair of shoes to match. You know what I'm saying? I even got a skimmer to go with it. You know what I'm saying? So I go to church, I'm looking dapper. But it's not about that. It's about going and getting some knowledge. Get a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of information, and get some understanding from the preacher. And if they have Bible study or Sunday school, we need to check these things out. They're not just there to make the church look good or fill the church up. No. We need to go to find out what's going on the other side. If we still caught up in the world, you know? All right, okay. Now here it is, The Guardian. I got this, and just going to read a little bit. The next U.S. Civil War is already here. We just refuse to see it. Now, you know they got a left, a far left, and a far right, and they got independents, they got conservatives and all those crazy stuff. You know, it's just put there to try to confuse the people. See? Most of this stuff is evil, and it trickles from the top down. And people are starting to believe this stuff, taking sides, you know what I'm saying? And, hey, everybody's all involved and included, you know? There should be no sides. We should all be on the same page. I don't care if you're a sinner and I'm a Christian. We all need to be agreeable and on the same page, you know, living for the same purpose, you know? Okay. All right, here it is. Nobody wants what's coming, so nobody wants to see what's coming. On the eve of the first Civil War, the most intelligent, the most informed, the most dedicated people in the United States could not see it coming. Even when Confederate soldiers began their bombardment of Fort Sumter, nobody believed that conflict was inevitable. The North was so unprepared for the war, they had no weapons. In Washington in the winter of 1861, Henry Adams, the grandson of John Quincy Adams, president, declared that not one man in America wanted the Civil War or expected it or intended it. South Carolina Senator James Chestnut, who did more than most on the advent of the catastrophe, promised to drink all the blood spilled in the entire conflict. Now, the common wisdom at the time was that he would have to drink not a thimble. You know, and these are people, they call themselves knowledgeable. They want to follow behind them. But, you know, it's like the Pied Piper, you know, just playing his little flute and dancing along merrily and feeling good. And, you know, you're trailing him down the path, you know, just nice and sunny and bright. And boom, before you know it, you wind up in darkness. You don't know nothing. You don't know where you're at. You don't know how to get away from whatever, you know? But these things here, you know, it's inevitable. It is coming. There is no way around it. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing. Nothing new under the sun. Conflict and chaos in the beginning. Adam and Eve in the garden. Satan had hoodwinked Eve gave to her husband, who was probably right there with her, you know, and they sinned in the beginning. They sinned in the beginning, and they had it easy, laid back, you know, didn't have to worry about nothing. And when they sinned, they got kicked out of the garden. Adam had to struggle with the ground, you know, to bring forth fruit, sweat, you know. It just changed everything around. And so here we are now. Here we are now. The way of the world, it's a lot of conflict and chaos, catastrophes, sadness, a lot of victims, you know. A lot of storms. The earth is sort of like fighting back, you know. And people they don't want to take charge of their own life. They don't want to be responsible. They go to church and they hear about God, you know. Hey, God created all things. He created everybody, all things, animals, humans, whatever else. He created the grass out there. Even though it turns brown every now and then, he did create it from the beginning. It was very good. Comes man, you know, with his ideas and his thoughts and his sinful heart, you know, he wants to control, you know. He wants to be God, you know, wants us to pat him on his back, look up to him, calling out his name, you know. But God, I'm pretty sure God reveals himself to just about everybody. Now, people can't be that ignorant that they don't know there is a God. You know? Now, let me read just a little bit more. The United States today is, once again, headed for civil war. Now, civil war is fighting among itself. Among itself. Civil war is within, from within. Now, there was a civil war here already. The North against the South, if slavery was involved, there was money being involved, there was people that didn't want to go along with the program. They wanted to separate themselves from within. And you know, that's civil unrest. That's, we have a lot of riots, a lot of pickets, a lot of protests. That's civil unrest. And eventually, it leads to civil war. And everybody is involved. We can run, we can hide, but we can't get away. If we caught up in it, if we are involved physically, emotionally, even spiritually, we all are involved. But God. Okay. The United States today is, once again, headed for civil war. And, once again, it cannot bear to face it. The political problems are both structural and immediate. The crisis, both longstanding and accelerating, the American political system has become so overwhelmed by anger that even the most basic tasks of government are increasingly impossible. The legal system grows less legitimate by the day. Trust in government at all levels is in free fall, or, like Congress, with approval ratings hovering around 20%, cannot fall any lower. Right now, elected sheriffs openly promote resistance to federal authority. Right now, militias train and arm themselves in preparation for the fall of the republic. Right now, doctrines of a radical, unachievable, messianic freedom spread across the internet, on talk radio, on cable television, in the malls. The consequences of the breakdown of the American system is only now beginning to be felt. January 6th wasn't a wake-up call. It was a rallying cry. Okay? Now, let me, real quick, the United States has burned before. The Vietnam War, civil rights protests, the assassination of JFK and MLK, Watergate, all were national catastrophes which remain in living memory. But the United States has never faced an institutional crisis quite like the one it is facing now. Trust in the institutions was much higher during the 60s. The Civil Rights Act had the broad support of both parties. JFK's murder was mourned collectively as a national tragedy. The Watergate scandal, in hindsight, was evidence of the system working. Even though it was wrong, it was corrupt and evil, the system worked. The press reported presidential crime. Americans took the press seriously. The political parties felt they needed to respond to the reported corruption. One of those statements today with any confidence. It's just the way this country has progressed from years before. Things appear to be getting better, but hey, here we go, y'all. Appearance isn't everything. There is a lot of other stuff going on. As I said, what's next? Where do we go from here? There was a song back in the day. Where do we go from here? And are you prepared? Are you prepared? Okay, I'm putting these mics on. Oh, let's see what we got here. Okay, bro. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Doing good.
Okay. Sounds great. Yeah. Sounds great. I put it out there. Did you have a comment or want to make a statement about what's next? Not necessarily in the world or what's next in your life? You know, what's next do you see for this country? What's next for your family? And are you prepared?
Praise the Lord. I look at it like this.
Yes, sir.
As far as having to be prepared, we know that. We know that Christ is the way, and the Word of God is the way that we start to prepare ourselves to live a life that He has died for us to have opportunity at eternal life. The world's always been mixed up, and I was in the world back then doing my thing and everything. And all of these things that was going on then, we worry about that much because we was part of it and a part of the world out in it to doing what we did. But when Christ chooses you and give you an opportunity to change your life, that's where we go now. And that's where we should have been from the beginning. And the thing that we realize is to see things going on and happening in the world, the far left, the far right, as you said, it shouldn't be no far left or far right, just people, individuals.
Yes.
Not fighting against one another, but coming to a compromise to try to work things out together. But rather than work it out, they criticize one another. And they're supposed to be the world leaders for the things that, you know, could help us in certain areas in our lives. But as long as they have the control and they're getting all the money, they don't want to share anything with the people.
Right.
Only thing they share with the people is the bad. All of the good they feel is self. And we go through these situations in life. And we have to prepare our families, our loved ones, prepare them this journey that we're living in this world today that's self-destructive every day, that we have to find a better way. And we explain to them the better way is Christ. He's given us something we don't have to pay for. He's given us something that all we have to do is seek Him and trust Him and repent and change our lives and follow Him.
Yes, sir.
But it's just like the world is so confusing. Everything that was good back then is bad now. Everything that's bad, they done turned it around for good. You know.
Yes, sir.
You have the gays have rights now, and if you break their rights, then you suffer to serve time or whatever the situation may be now. It's not like the Bible says. It's like man says to them. As long as man makes his decisions, it's like it don't matter to anyone. But God is in charge, and he's going to see us through everything if we live by his commandments and his word.
That's it.
We have to continue to seek him. That's where we got to keep going. Down that straight arrow, not to stray to the left or the right, but continue trusting him for all of our situations.
Yes, sir. Well said. Well said. I just wanted to read this real quick, the scripture here. Hebrews 10 and 5. I want to read this real quick. Hebrews 10 and 5. Okay. All right. I'm using King James reference. And then, too, I'm going to read it out of the NIV version of the Holy Bible. Okay? Hebrews 10 and 5. Okay. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, this is Jesus Christ, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. So in other words, God prepared a body for Jesus Christ to come into the world to redeem man back to him. Because once upon a time, man had to sacrifice all kind of stuff, a sin offering, all kind of they had to sacrifice this stuff on the altar, you know. And it was a daily thing that they had to do. But after a minute, it's like people are just sinning too much. And God, he just didn't want to destroy the world and humankind as he did before, just saving eight souls, giving humankind, mankind, womankind, giving them an opportunity that they don't have to go to the priest. They don't have to go to the preacher. They can go directly for themselves. And they can go for themselves and talk to the Creator himself. And that way, a person can sort of like develop a conscious contact with the Creator. And this is what he wanted from the beginning. He wanted this contact from the beginning. Because after Adam sinned, what happened? The voice of God was walking in the cool of the day in the garden. And what did he say? He said, Adam, where art thou? You know, Adam was hiding. He was hiding. So he killed some animals and gave them skins to cover themselves because they were naked. Before that, they were naked and didn't bother them at all because there was no sin involved. But, hey, Satan, he stepped up, he did his thing. Hey, he wanted to get mankind from the beginning. He wanted sin to be in the world in the beginning and just go through all the generations. But God came through. He saved eight souls. And there was a fresh start until, you know. And there's almost always a situation where the enemy is right there. And if we don't watch our step, we're going to step in his mess and we're going to be there. Don't even see it coming. We don't even know how we get into that or get involved. But we have to have eyes of discernment. We have to have understanding and knowledge, you know, what to look for, what to expect. You know, there are signs. There are signs. All right. Let me read Hebrews 5 out of the NIV for you. Okay. And these books, the wording is a little different. It's because of the translation. But the foundation is basically the same, okay? Hebrews 4 and 5, and it says, is thus. And again, in the passage above, he says, no, 10 and 5, I'm sorry. 10 and 5. I got ahead of myself. Hebrews 10 and 5. All righty. Okay, here we go. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Okay? Now, let me read just a couple more lines here. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. 7. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. So God, he loved humankind just that much to whereas he allowed the world to continue as it was, but he saw that man, his mind was still continue on sin, you know, devising ways to be more pleasurable in sin, you know. And as we see, the government, like I said earlier, the government should be for the people and by the people. But the government come up with these laws, whereas these things are an abomination with God. To allow those things to go on, people to be happy and satisfied doing what they feel they want to do, and there's a law. It's lawful now to do these things. But it's an abomination with God, and we have to see through that, y'all, you know. Two men and two women, it doesn't work. They can't produce. You know, they can't have a family, which is basic with God, family, a man and a woman. They produce and have offspring. It's a family. And it's from generation to generation. And it's not that the two males or the two women, it's not that they are to adopt children and raise them as their own and have their family. No, it's not for us to go that way in the first place. But the way of the world, there's a strong, very strong presence. And I know when I was out there, it's like sometimes I just couldn't help myself, you know. It was there, and I just did whatever it was, kept it moving. But now, having our understanding, you know, through the Word of God, we have an understanding of what's what. And as the brother said earlier, things have been changed around. Things have been changed around to suit the people. To suit the people. So they will think that it's lawful to do these things. Hey, just because man made a law that it's lawful, you know, in your mind, you still think twice that something's wrong with that. It don't even look right. Don't sound right. Two men walking down the street holding hands, kissing. No, but the way of the world. The way of the world. Okay, sis, you got a comment? Sis, are you there?
Yeah, that don't make it right just because the law makes it right. It's an abomination
right, yeah.
In God's sight. And
of course.
And we as Christians, we can't go along with it. We can,
mm-hmm.
We still
yeah.
can't go because even if they do make more family, it's still wrong in God's sight for
mm-hmm.
that to happen because God
mm-hmm.
made males. And in order to have a family and have it right, it should be male and female. And bring
mm-hmm.
them up in the atmosphere of God, you know, fearing God and teaching them in the right way. Because that's confusing
yes.
when two men are living
mm-hmm.
together as husband and wife and raising children. Or two
mm-hmm.
women living
right.
together raising children.
Mm-hmm.
That's confusing to the children. we're sending out the wrong message. So it should be the way God put it to be. But man has, the government has changed things and people's jumping in that because that's what they want to do. But even though the law has changed where man can man and women can marry a woman, that still don't make it right. So we as saints of God, we have to stand up. We still have to love people, but we still can't agree with what is wrong because Jesus loved everybody, but he still didn't go along with wrong. So we can't go along. Wrong. I don't know. I don't care if it's our daughter or our son. We still can't go along with wrong. Now, we have to call sin what sin is, but we still have to love one another and do what's right in God's sight.
Yes. Well, let me ask you this real quick. What's next? If you have an answer for this, what's next? Whether it be what's next in this country, what's next in your life, what's next for your family? Are we prepared? Are you prepared?
Well, to me, we just have to continue to seek God's face and stay ready. Mm-hmm. We have to stay ready because Jesus can come at any time. But we just have to be prepared, continue to read his word, continue to live holy. Because we can't be getting ready. We have to be ready because we don't know the hour or the time he's coming for us. Just like a brother of ours, his friend passed away right in the church. We don't know where we might be when death comes for us. So we have to be ready to go at any time. We can't be getting ready. We have to be ready. So those that are not ready, they get ready and stay ready because he can come at any time. The signs are in the land. The signs are in the land. And so we have to be ready and stay ready because we all these tornadoes and all these things happening in the land, we don't know when it might hit our community or city. We do not know. So we just have to continue to pray for one another. Keep our prayer life going, loving like the Lord tells us to love. Continue to live according to God's word. That's what we have to do. And if we do those, he said, a new commandment I leave with you, that you love. And if we love one another, we obey in God's word. We're not going to do anything to hurt one another. So if we love one another and continue doing what the Word of God says, live according to His will, stay ready. Stay ready. When it comes for us, we're ready to go. That's what we have to do.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, I want to interject real quick. There's one scripture here in the New Testament, Acts 2:38. Okay, Acts 2:30. Now, this is a build-up of after Jesus had died and rose from the dead, resurrected from the dead, and went back to the Father. Peter, when the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit had come upon them in the upper room, Peter, he got that boldness. And this is what was told to the people. Okay, let me start at 37 real quick, just two, no more than two or three. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, this is that Christ's resurrection proves that he is the Lord and the Christ, the Messiah. Okay? And the witnesses, they're trying to get these people to understand that Christ came into the world, that they need to be saved. They need to be saved. And for them to change their way of living, their lifestyle, believe on him and what he did when he was here. Okay, so this is 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Okay? And this was after Peter and the apostles, men and women, received the Holy Spirit in the upper room, and they came out. The people thought that they were drinking some new wine early in the morning, drunk. But Peter told them that, no, they received the Holy Spirit, and it comes from above. And they needed to be saved from their sin. And there was an opportunity for all men. When Jesus came and died, it was an opportunity for all men, not just the white man, the Caucasian, or the black, or the Middle Eastern people, or people in South America. It was for all men, because God created all men. In the beginning, everything was very good. Then things got out of hand, man doing his thing, because the enemy, evil, was within him, just like Judas Iscariot. No, just like Judas, yeah. He condemned Jesus Christ. He set him up. He set him up with the Sanhedrin. He set him up to take him out. But see, that was man's thinking. Instead of trying to get some understanding and enlightenment, because Judas, he hung out with Jesus and the 11 apostles. He hung out with them the whole time. So the word was given to him, just like any and everybody else that was hanging with Jesus. But it wasn't, he did not believe. And then, too, evil was, it was in his heart from the beginning. And even though he had the word, it did him not a bit of good, because he did not let it take over his heart. You know, he knew the way, but didn't take it. And that is one of the reasons why he hung himself. You know, he couldn't handle it. He thought it was supposed to go one way, but it went the way that God had planned, God's will. We can never change God's will. I don't care what we're doing. You know, we can change our own will, but we cannot change God's will. God's will be done, no matter who you are, where you are, what you think, or what you're doing. And to God be the glory, okay? Thank God that I'm off tomorrow, day of rest. Thank God. And just thank God for each and every one that's listening this evening. Be blessed through the word of God. Be blessed through prayer. Let's pray for one another. We have to. We have to encourage one another, because there are going to be times when we need to be encouraged, and we can look at those people that we encouraged ourselves, okay? And with that, I'm going to have a quick ending prayer. Most High God, in heaven and in earth and underneath the earth, we honor you and thank you. Truly giving you the praise, Father God, hallelujah, the Most High praise, for our life, health, and strength. Thank you for blessing us as we went out and blessing us as we came in. Help us to be a blessing to the next man in line. Bless our neighbors on either side, our families, our siblings, and the ministry, Father God. We give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, everyone. Have a blessed night. Shalom, all.
Shalom.
Shalom.